Hi, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Overcoming Life's Obstacles. This is Jerry McGee. We appreciate you listening in. And we've changed our meeting times to the first Friday of each month and the third Tuesday of each month. And so it's kind of been a conflict with another meeting that I'm going to attend, so we've just changed it. So hope you'll be listening in and invite people to listen in. Well, the message tonight, and I'm going to pray, is on knowledge increases power. We need God's knowledge of God's word, because the more of God's word we have, the more power we have, because it's the truth that sets us free, and the word of God is the truth. So, Father, we come before your throne in the name of Jesus, and we ask you, Lord, to touch the lives of each person that will be listening to this message. And, Lord, we just thank you for the truth that sets us free. Lord, we ask you to cover us and Dorothy and her family and every person who's listening in, and me and my family, with the blood of Jesus. We pray you'll cover our president with the blood of Jesus. We pray a wall of fire, a hedge of protection, your warring angels around him in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to recover him from any poison that he might have received the last day or 2 days. God, we ask you for total recovery in the name of Jesus. Well, let me just, before I pray any longer, whether you love the president or not, be praying for him, because I understand through alternate media that somebody attempted to poison him, and he is at the Walter Reed Hospital, or was there. So I don't know the details, but be praying. So, Father, we ask you to touch our president. We thank you, Lord, that Mark 16 says we can drink poison and it won't kill us. We pray a hedge of thorns around every person who would try to do harm to our president. Lord, we ask you to let them fall by their own wickedness. We ask you, Lord, to let them fall into the nets they've hidden while our president and we pass by safely. Father, I pray tonight that I'll be a tree of life, that rivers of living water will come forth from my innermost being. Father, I pray the eyes of my heart and the eyes of the hearts of each person will be enlightened, that each of us will know what is the hope of their calling. I pray, Lord, for revelation knowledge. I pray for the eyes of every heart to be enlightened. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that I'll be a tree of life. I pray for rivers of living water. And, Lord, I ask you to send forth your holy angels to minister to each person who will hear this message and minister to our president. I bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. I bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. I forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us or against our president in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We loose ministering angels to minister to each person who will be listening in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that every life will be changed. I pray, Lord, that all of us will have ears to seek knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Thank you for your word that's true, that you watch over your word to perform it. The leaf withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. In Jesus' name. You know, in Proverbs 24, it says knowledge increases power. And the reason it increases power is because we're talking about the knowledge of God, not the knowledge that puffs up. The scripture says that knowledge, worldly knowledge, puffs up, but love edifies, which means to build a house. That's what that word means in the Greek. And so knowledge increases power because we're talking about the knowledge of God. And so the more we know about God, the more power we have with him. You know, the more you know about God, the more you are able to minister deliverance more, because the more you know God's word. You have to know God's word. And basically, deliverance is just aligning yourself with the word of God. James 4:7 says, give yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. And the Hebrew definition of knowledge is cunning or truth. And, of course, we know that the word of God is Jesus, because in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the word and the word was made flesh. And so we know that Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the scripture says no one can come unto the Father except by him, through Jesus. And also knowledge means cunning, which is skill. And so in the dictionary definition of knowledge is facts, information, and skills acquired by a person through experience or education, theoretically or practically understanding a subject. So we're talking about the knowledge of understanding the subject, which is the Word of God, which is God. Proverbs 9:10 tells us that knowledge is the fear of the Lord and the beginning of, It tells you that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And of course, understanding and knowledge and wisdom, you can't have one without having it all. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puffs up, inflates, but love edifies. And of course, we know that God is love and He's the truth. And since we're studying knowledge of Him, it edifies, which means to build a house. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, you're a building, you're a house, and you're a field. Proverbs 24:3 says, by wisdom, which is the fear of the Lord, is wisdom is to turn away from evil. By wisdom, a house is built. Well, 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, you are a building, a house, and a field. You're also a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're a spirit, and you have a soul, and you live in a body. And so it says to build a house, by wisdom a house is built, by understanding, which is discernment, it's built, and by knowledge all the rooms are filled with precious and with precious, let me quote this again. Okay, I lost my place. It says, by wisdom a house is built, by understanding it's established, and by knowledge all the rooms are filled with precious riches. And then it goes on to say, knowledge increases power. And it's the greatest truth that a person can possess with their mind about God. Psalm 46:10 says, cease striving and know that I am God. And you say, well, how in the world do I cease striving? Well, we have to die to our life. It says in John 12. In John 12:24, it says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. So when we cease striving, it means we come into God's rest. And so, whenever I die to myself, then the life of Christ is produced in me. Then I have the perfect peace. God says He'll keep you in peace when your mind is stayed upon Him because you're trusting in Him. And so when the outward, like when a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, the moisture in that grain, that corn, in the corn or whatever you plant, the moisture in the soil corrodes the outward layer of that corn and it life springs forth. And so when you and I die to our flesh, it's like we crucify that flesh and the life of Christ comes through. And that's how we experience God's peace. That's how we experience His rest. And when God says, cease striving and know that I'm God, God reveals Himself when we cease striving. He manifests Himself when we die to our flesh. And also, that's how other people see the glory of God in us, is when we die to our flesh. And it's Jesus said, if any man would come after me, he has to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. John 8:31 says, Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed that if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In Acts, it says the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. John 8:32, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, here's some facts about knowledge. The kind of knowledge we're talking about is the knowledge that edifies. It's God who teaches a man knowledge. Psalms 94:10 says, he who chastens the nations, will he not rebuke even those who teach man knowledge? And then no one can teach God knowledge. He has it all. He is all-knowing. John 21:22 says, "Can anyone teach God knowledge? In that he judges those on high." And then knowledge cannot be gained by unaided human reasoning. God has to give it to you. John 11:7 says, "Can you solve the mysteries of God? Can you discover everything about the Almighty?" Such knowledge is higher than the heavens, and who are you? It is deeper than the underworld. What do you know? And basically, we don't know much of anything. We can think we know so much, but the older I get and the more I walk with God, the more I really realize I don't know what I know. I know the things God's taught me, but from being a person that thought they're the world's smartest person, I realized that, hey, I'm in need, and you should be realizing that too. The fact the quicker we realize that, the better off we are. And we need to cry out to God to give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Job 11:19 says, it is broader than the earth and wider than the sea. Verse 33, this is Romans 11:33 now. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor? In other words, he didn't need a counselor. We need one. Not a worldly counselor, because the scripture says in Colossians 2:8-9, "See to it no one takes you captive by the philosophies of the world, by the elemental principles of the world, rather than Christ." It says, "And who has given him that he might be paid back to him again?" Romans 11:36. From him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. And then knowledge is acquired only as God shows himself to his people through nature and through our conscience. In Psalms 19, I encourage you to read all of it, but I'm just going to read a couple of verses. It says in Psalms 19:1, "The heavens are declaring the glory of God, and the expanse declaring the work of his hands." You know, sometimes on a beautiful day, I look up at the sky and I can really see how the heavens are declaring the glory of God. Psalms 19:2 says, "Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." Romans 1:19 says, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God has made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they're without excuse." And so we're without excuse if we're going to follow God or not. And what this is saying is, you could be on the most remote part of the earth, and there be no television, no communication, no people, no Bible, no newspaper, no nothing, and God reveals himself to people. So we're without excuse. So we have to choose. He lets us choose. And then mental knowledge by itself is good, as it may be, but it's inadequate because it's capable of only producing pride. Moral knowledge affects a person's will. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction." And the good kind of knowledge that we're talking about today is of the heart and not of the mind. And the book of Proverbs deals primarily with the mind, with this knowledge of the mind and of the heart and not the mind. The Apostle Paul's wish for the church at Colossae was that they might increase in the knowledge of God. And this is a prayer that I pray sometimes in my prayer time, but we need to pray this prayer for ourselves and for the ones we love, because because it's a prayer that God answers. Colossians 1:10 says, so that you might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened according to his mighty power for the attaining of steadfastness, patiently, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified to share us to share in the inheritance with the saints in light. And that's a prayer God always answers. In fact, I learned a long time ago to pray the word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And when you pray the word of God, you know that's a perfect prayer because it's God's will. And then you hear yourself pray it and it increases your faith. And I started probably when my children were, my oldest son was probably 12 years old. So 47 years ago, I started praying for my children, their descendants, and their mates. And I started just praying. I had an old Living Bible, and I started just praying everything in there that I could pray for my children, their descendants, and their mates. And I can tell you, I have godly grandchildren, and I've just seen the miracles that God's worked in their life because of prayer. So if you have little children, or if you don't have children, or if you, your children are grown and you just have grandchildren, pray for your descendants and their mates. The Bible says the children of the righteous are blessed. The children of the righteous will be delivered. And also, God is the God of knowledge. That's another thing we need to see about knowledge. He's a God of knowledge. 1 Samuel 2:3 tells us to boast no more very proudly. Proverbs says boasting is looking for trouble, and it's really pride. It says, do not let arrogance come up out of your mouth. Oh, my goodness, how many times in my life that I have been so arrogant, and I thank God he's delivering me from that. For God is the God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. And here, you know, the story of King Solomon, how God told him that he would grant his request, whatever he wanted, and he didn't ask for riches, he didn't ask for fame, he didn't ask for fortune, he didn't ask for the lives of his enemies. This is his prayer in 2 Chronicles 1:10. It says, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come before this people, for who can rule this great people of yours? And God says, because you didn't ask for selfish things, because you asked for wisdom and knowledge, I'm going to give you fame, fortune. I'm going to give you your enemies. I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give it all to you because you didn't ask for those things, but you asked for wisdom and knowledge. And, you know, there's windy knowledge, worthless words. For so many times I've thought I was going to put together a message called worthless, wasted words, because I've been to meetings where, and it's usually a man, women can be full of hot air too, but usually it's a man that feels insecure about himself, and he stands up and it's I this, I my that, and I did this, and I did that, and it's just a bunch of, it's a waste of time to listen to such a thing. In fact, if you're speaking to me and I'm in a meeting, if you're not speaking the word of God to me, you're wasting my time. Because it's the word of God that changes a person's life. And so Job's accusers were full of windy knowledge. Job answered his accusers in Job 15:2. Should a wise man answer with windy knowledge and fill himself with the east wind? And then Job's accusers answered in Job 34:35. Job speaks without knowledge, and his words are without wisdom. You know, the prophet Samuel was a great example, because the Bible said that none of his words fell to the ground. And so we need to seek God to clean our heart, create in us a clean heart, oh God, because the words come out of a heart that comes out of our heart. What comes out of our mouth comes out of the heart. And in Psalm 51, David prayed, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew in me a right spirit. Cast me not from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Sustain me with a willing spirit, that I might teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners might be converted. And so many of us have spoken windy words, words without knowledge. And God has made me more mindful of my words. I haven't had the total victory yet, but I'm working on it. And I'll just ask you, are you guilty of being a person that speaks these windy words? You know, I know some people that are, and some people are such blabbermouths that they hijack you with words. Have you ever been around a person who just doesn't come up for air? They're talking about themselves nonstop. You can't get a word in edgewise. And basically, it's emotional abuse. The Bible says a babbling fool will be thrown down. And so we need to watch our words. It's really emotional abuse when you hijack people with words. And I personally, I don't like to be around people like that. I don't think anybody does, because it's just spouting folly. And so the Bible says a prudent person doesn't blab everything he knows. A prudent person is a person, the scripture says, he sees the evil ahead and he hides himself. And he decides he's not going to walk the way of the folly. He's going to walk the way of wisdom. He's watching all around himself. Proverbs 12:23 says, a prudent man conceals knowledge, and the heart of fools proclaims folly. And restraining your words prove that you have knowledge. Proverbs 17:27 says, he who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. A person with a cool spirit is a person that doesn't get angry, isn't hot-tempered. The word understanding means discernment. So when a person has a cool spirit, they understand certain things, and it says they're a man of understanding. And then we need to purpose to speak words of knowledge. Proverbs 8:7 says, for my mouth will utter wisdom, will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. That's a good prayer to pray for us to pray, that our mouth will utter truth and wickedness will be an abomination to our lips, because it's an abomination to God. Proverbs 8:8 says, all the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. You know, the Proverbs says that a crooked mind finds no good. That's a person that's always speaking perverted words, words that don't align themselves with the word of God. Proverbs 8:9 says, my words are, and Lord, make this true in our lives. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. And then we need to choose knowledge and rather than silver or gold. How many of us, if we had a choice between choosing silver or gold or knowledge, would we choose knowledge? Proverbs 8:10 says, take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice is gold. A prudent person acts with knowledge. Proverbs 13:16 says, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but fools display folly. It's kind of like it's like you put folly in a showcase for everybody to see. You're displaying it. And you'll never learn words of knowledge from a fool, from these blabbermouths that just go on and on and on about wasted, worthless, windy words. Proverbs 14:7 says, leave the presence of a fool or you will not discern words of knowledge. And not having ears to hear will cause you to die without knowledge. You know, over and over in the New Testament that Jesus said to him who has ears, let him hear. They all had ears, but they didn't have ears to hear. And I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes you can give somebody directions. I used to have this farm, and I would send someone to the feed store, and I would say, get the orange can, and they'd come back with the green can. Or I've had people trying to tell people how to get to my farm, and I'd say, now you turn a left at a certain place, and then you turn right, and they'd go just the opposite. I've watched people at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, how the man that used to run the camp, he'd say, now when you go into the cafeteria in the dining room, go to the end of the table. And they always would stop at the first of the table. You know, so God, give us ears to hear. It says, not having ears to hear will cause you to die without knowledge. Job 36:12 says, but they do not hear, they shall perish by the sword, and they will die without knowledge. Can you imagine never knowing the truth? And some counselors counsel windy words, and we've talked about psychology in Colossians 2, 8, and 9. I had a lady once get delivered at my seminar, and then she went back to her psychiatrist, and he said, you'll always be this way. And I told her, I said, well, he was right. If you're going to go back to him, you'll always be that way. Because the roots of that is the occult perversion, and it's worldly, the elemental principles of the world rather than Christ. Job 38:2 says, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? 42:3 says, who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? And then some people pride themselves in how smart they are. I know people that judge people if they think they're stupid. You know, basically we're all pretty stupid. But God says that people that pride themselves on how smart they are, God says if they don't have knowledge, they're stupid. And here's what God has to say about it. Stupid people have no knowledge. Psalms 92:5 says, how great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this. And stupid people hate correction. In fact, the Bible says you correct a wise person, he'll love you. You correct a fool, he'll hate you. Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, and whoever hates reproof is stupid. And the truly intelligent people seek after knowledge. That means we search for it. Proverbs 15:4 says, the mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of the fool feeds on folly. And, you know, a good way that we feed on folly is to sit in front of a TV set and feed on everything that comes forth from that boob tube. The question I would ask is, how is it helping us spiritually? It's actually tearing us down, because the word of God is seed and words are seed, and you're a spiritual garden and you feed yourself. You're planting demonic seeds of lust and a perversion of witchcraft, of lewdness, of violence, of anger. You're planting that in your spiritual garden. And so if you're lacking knowledge, we need to ask God for it, because he gives it. Psalms 119:66 says, teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. And then God gives knowledge, but fools hate it. Proverbs 1:4 says, to give prudence to the naive. The naive is a simple, silly, and easily seduced. To the youth, knowledge and discretion, and fools hate knowledge. And then simple-minded people hate knowledge. Proverbs 1:22 says, how long, O naive, simple, silly, easily seduced ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. And then we need to pay attention to what we hear, so that we can reserve knowledge. You know, like if you maybe go to a restaurant, you're reserving a table. Here you're reserving knowledge. Proverbs 5:1 says, my son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ears to my understanding, that you might observe discretion, and your lips may reserve knowledge. And then the Bible says that wise men store up knowledge. You know, people store up gold, silver, grain. They store stuff up in their pantry. God tells us we need to store up knowledge if we're wise. Proverbs 10:4 says, wise men store up knowledge, but with the mouth of the foolish, ruin is at hand, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And it's through knowledge that deliverance comes. Proverbs 11:9 says, with his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor. And through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered, because when we have knowledge of our problems, when we go through a trial, all we have to do is ask God, because all of the answers are in His Word, and He wants to discipline us, realign us with the Word of God, and He gives us knowledge as we learn what our problems are. Knowledge comes easy to a wise man. Proverbs 14:6 says, "The scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge is easy to him who has understanding." And the wise are crowned with knowledge. You know, it's not anything you can see with the human eye, but angels and demons and God can see it. I was at a meeting once, and one of the speakers, some old 13-year-old kid in the congregation, said to the one speaking, "I see a crown on your head." And the one who was speaking was a very wise person. It says the wise are crowned with knowledge. Proverbs, and it's a crown in the spirit realm. Proverbs 14:18 says, "The naive, the simple, silly, and easily seduced inherit foolishness, but the sensible are crowned with knowledge." And wise people make knowledge acceptable. Proverbs 15:2 says, "The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of the fools spouts folly." You know, we're either a tree of life or we're a tree of death. And spouting folly is spouting foolishness. And wise people spread knowledge. Proverbs 15:7 says, "The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not so." A prudent person acquires knowledge, and his ears seek after knowledge. Proverbs 18:15 says, "The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." There again, it takes ears to hear for us to seek knowledge. And then failure to seek knowledge causes us to err. Proverbs 19:2 says, "Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge. And he who hurries his footsteps errs." And that's a picture of a person that just barrels out and does things impulsively and never seeks God first. And I'm learning finally after 81 years to seek God about everything I do. Because then we won't make mistakes when we seek God. And then correct a person with understanding, and he will gain knowledge. Proverbs 19:25 says, "Strike a scoffer, that the naive, the simple, silly, easily seduced may be become shrewd." No guarantees, though. "But reprove him who has understanding, and he will gain knowledge." And when you cease listening to God's discipline, you go astray. But, you know, the scripture says in Hebrews that God disciplines every son whom he loves. And if we don't let him discipline us, we're illegitimate and not even his children. And discipline doesn't necessarily mean a spanking, but it means when I go through trials, God's got something to teach me in every trial that I go through. But if I don't listen to God in those trials, I go astray. Proverbs 19:27 says, "Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." And then the lips of knowledge are more precious than gold and silver and precious stones. Proverbs 20:15 says, "There is gold, an abundance of jewels, but the lips of knowledge are a more precious thing. In other words, having lips of knowledge is more valuable than gold and silver and precious jewels. And you say, well, you know, down here in America, it's not that way, or wherever you live. But you know what? In eternity, it is. And I heard something the other day. Are you dying to live? Are you living to die? And living to die means I'm denying myself, dying to my flesh, so that I can live eternally with God. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, he has to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow the Lord. And so he's saying that gold and abundance jewels are not more valuable than knowledge, that knowledge is more a more valuable thing. And when you instruct a wise person, he receives knowledge, Proverbs 21:11 says. When the scoffer is punished, the naive, the simple, silly, easily seduced become wise. But when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. And I just want to say something about naive, being simple, silly, and easily seduced. It's a picture of a person that has got so much rejection on them that they'll go along with anything. They're simple, they're silly, and they're easily seduced. I can say that my son, who had lived a homosexual lifestyle, he was easily seduced, not just through sexual things, but just through wanting people to love him. And if you're that person, you need to repent and seek after knowledge. And then God preserves knowledge. That preserve means to keep it in its original state. In other words, knowledge does not deteriorate. Proverbs 22:12 says, "The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the treacherous man." Treacherous means unfaithful. And we're to apply our hearts to knowledge. Proverbs 22:17 says, "Incline your ears and hear the words of knowledge and apply your mind to my knowledge." So it's something that has to be applied to it. Studied it, you know, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. And then God has given us his word, which is excellent things of counsels and knowledge. Proverbs 22:20 says, God says, "Have I not given you excellent things of counsels and knowledge?" His word's like a treasure. But we have to dig out the treasure. And so we have to apply our hearts to discipline and our ears to words of knowledge. Proverbs 23:12 says, "Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge." And then build yourself a spiritual house through wisdom, through understanding, and through knowledge. And then knowledge increases power. And a land can endure because of a man of understanding and knowledge. And Solomon prayed that God would give him understanding and knowledge. And whatever you think about our president, he's a man of understanding and knowledge because of how he's helped America already. He's not one world order. He's not trying to destroy America and destroy our sovereignty. He's trying to fight against the people that are trying to destroy our sovereignty and trying to destroy America. Proverbs 28:2 says, "By the transgression of a land, many are its princes, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, so it endures." So you need to pray for the president, whether you like him or not. You need to pray for God to give him wisdom and knowledge. And there's a price to pay sometime for wisdom and knowledge. Ecclesiastes 1:18 says, "Because in much wisdom, there's much grief. And increasing knowledge results in increasing pain." Because sometimes it takes the pain for us to get what God's trying to show us. We're so hard-headed, and when we don't have a problem, we don't really see God like we should. You know, recently I thought, you know, I was as surrendered to God as I knew how to be. But I had something happen in my life, and I tell you, I'm more surrendered today than I was. And it took that pain to increase the knowledge and wisdom in my life to see some things that I would have never seen the other way. So always ask God what he's trying to teach you in whatever you go through. Knowledge preserves your life. That means preserve means to keep it in original state. And I don't really understand how that would apply to your life. But there is a scripture that says, "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away." And so when I have knowledge, I'm not going to keep silent about my sin so that my body can waste away. Ecclesiastes 7:12 says, "For wisdom is protection just as money is protection. But the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the lives of its possessors." So ask God to give you wisdom. I know there was a girl that came into the ministry years ago, and I said something about wisdom, and she said, "What's that?" And she had not one ounce of wisdom But I can tell you, after 10 years, I saw how God has failed to fill that woman with his wisdom. And it's like God just dumped a big load of wisdom on her. And so ask God to give it to you. And you go into captivity when you lack knowledge. Isaiah 5:13 says, therefore my people go into exile for the lack of knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is parched with thirst. And here are some things that are essential to life and to ministry. And this is speaking of Jesus, but if Jesus Christ lives in us, we can have the same. He said, greater works will you do because I go to the Father. And so if Jesus Christ is in me, I can have these same things on me. Isaiah 11:2 says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Goes on to say, we won't judge by what our eyes see or our ears hear. We'll be listening to the Lord. And people who reject knowledge perish. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. I know people that live in torment and are constantly tortured by demons. And they think there are people torturing them. And I try to tell them, but they won't listen. They reject knowledge. And because of that, they're perishing. And so all I can do is pray that God enlightens their eyes. It's sad to watch when you know the answer, but no one wants to listen. Now, here are the consequences for refusing to listen to God. Proverbs 1:23 says, turn to my reproof, God says. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit on you, and I'll make my words known to you. What a tremendous promise. Is that when we repent and turn to God and turn to his discipline, he says he'll pour his spirit on us and make his words known to us. In verse 24, because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your dread comes. And it's coming. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, then when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. When I was studying this earlier, God showed me something, because I've been seeking the Lord for healing in an area, and sometimes it just seems like that the heaven is shut off. And so when I read this, I thought, you know, the times that maybe God's talked to me in earlier years and I didn't listen, and my forefathers who didn't listen, who had the same thing that they needed healing from, and I repented over Proverbs 1, not listening, which would cause God not to listen to me. So anyway, I just wanted to give you that insight because if you're believing God to heal you and he's not answering you, that could be one of the reasons. It says, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they have hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their own ways and be satiated in their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive, the simple silly easily seduced, will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. And this is how we get it. First of all, you need to make sure you've been born again. And I don't mean just be a church member. I don't mean just believe in Jesus in your head, because the demons and the devil believe in Jesus more than you do. I'm talking about a born again experience where what's in your head gets down in your heart and transforms it. And those of you who've been born again, you can't explain it, but you know that you know that you know something has happened in your heart to change your heart. And if you're listening to me now and you don't know that you know that you know that you've been born again, you need to be born again. And years ago, I was teaching out in California, and I was teaching on being born again. And I said, Lord, I know all these people are church members, all of them. But God, I know they're not all saved. And I said, how do I teach them how to be saved? And he said, teach them if they come after me, they have to deny their self. And so if you've accepted Jesus in the past and you've continued to live after yourself, can I tell you, you need to be born again. Because when you're born again, you can't be the way you used to be. The scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. So if you've not been born again, you need to repent and ask God to forgive you for living after your flesh. The scripture says, if you live after your flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And then you need to seek after it like it was silver and gold. Proverbs 2:1 says, my son and daughter, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you. Do we do that? Have we done that? Lord, forgive us. Make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. Lord, we make our ear attentive to wisdom and we incline our heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, if you lift your voice for understanding and you seek her as silver and search for her as with hidden treasures. You know, if somebody told you that you had gold buried out in your backyard or even precious jewels, we'd be out there with a shovel trying to dig it up. So God's saying, seek wisdom, knowledge, understanding more than you would seek silver or gold. Verse 5 says, then, after you do that, then you'll discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he's a shield to those who walk in integrity. So he is a shield if you're walking in integrity. That means walking in the Word of God. And we're not talking about being perfect. We're talking about with all of our heart trying to please God. Guarding the paths of justice. And he preserves the way of his godly ones. So the path is preserved, means to its original state. Then you will discern righteousness and judge justice and equity and a good course. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you and understanding will watch over you. I heard a preacher say once he thought those were holy angels guarding you. I've had people tell me that they've seen angels on my gate. I live up off the road in the woods, and I've had more than one person tell me that they saw holy angels at my gate. Discretion will guard you, and understanding will watch over you. You know, we're living in a world that is so dangerous. The scripture says in Proverbs 16:7, if a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. The scripture says in Psalms 37 that the angel of the Lord guards and rescues all those who reverence the Lord. And so it says discretion will guard you and understanding will watch over you. You don't have to fear ISIS or any evil person. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. In Proverbs 9, it talks about the voice of the harlot that says, turn in here. And then the voice of wisdom says, you turn in here. And a prudent person will choose the path of wisdom. A simple, silly, easily seduced person will choose the way of the harlot, which says, turn in here. So we have to walk in the Word of God. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray with you. And so the word spirit means breath, and so you can take a deep breath and blow out. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for not seeking after knowledge, not seeking after wisdom. Forgive me for not making my ears attentive for wisdom. God, forgive me for not seeking knowledge, understanding, wisdom more than I would seek silver or gold. Forgive me for minimizing knowledge and being a person that would treasure silver, gold, and precious jewels more than I would treasure knowledge and wisdom and understanding. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to show me how to build my house with wisdom and understanding and fill the rooms with knowledge. And thank you, Lord, that knowledge increases power. Lord, forgive me for rejecting knowledge. Forgive me for my sin of going into exile because I've not had knowledge. God, forgive me for not applying my heart to knowledge. Forgive me for not, that my eyes have not reserved knowledge. Forgive me that I've had my eyes in the wrong place. Forgive me for not loving you with my whole heart. Forgive me, Lord, for not being willing to deny myself so that I can follow you. Forgive me for living after the flesh, which is causing me to die. Forgive me for not dying. Forgive me for not living to, for not dying to live. Forgive me for not crucifying my flesh. Forgive me for refusing your discipline, refusing knowledge. Forgive me for windy words. Forgive me for being a blabbermouth, being a babbling fool. Forgive me for worthless, wasted words. Forgive me for wasting people's time and hijacking them. Forgive me for being a scoffer, being simple, silly, and easily seduced. For God, forgive me for not having understanding so that I can acquire knowledge and gain knowledge. Forgive me for not having understanding, which is causing me to be ruined. Forgive me for not seeking knowledge, which causes me to go astray. Forgive me for not acquiring knowledge. Forgive me for not being prudent. Forgive me for not choosing the path of righteousness. Forgive me for choosing folly. Forgive me for not spreading knowledge. Forgive me for not making knowledge acceptable. God, I want to be crowned with knowledge. I want people to see a crown of knowledge on my head because of being a person that is sensible. Forgive me for folly. Forgive me for being a fool. I ask you to fill me with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Forgive me for not storing up knowledge. Forgive me for not paying attention to what I listen to and so that I can reserve knowledge. Forgive me for being simple-minded and stupid and hating knowledge. Forgive me for being lazy and not spending time with you and not being in your word. Lord, I turn to your reproof and I ask you to pour your spirit out on me and that I will know your word. Teach me good discernment, Lord. Forgive me for not loving discipline. Forgive me for priding myself in how smart I think I am. Forgive me for being senseless and stupid. Forgive me for windy knowledge. Forgive me for sitting under the wrong kind of counsel, sitting under psychology. God, give me ears to hear. Forgive me for not acting with knowledge and being prudent. Lord, I choose to take the path of life. Forgive me for listening to the voice of a harlot that says, turn in here. Forgive me for turning aside from your word. Lord, by your grace, I purpose to speak the right kind of words. I ask you, Father, to create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. Lord, sustain me with a willing spirit that I might teach transgressors thy ways and sinners will be converted. Forgive me for not restraining my lips. Forgive me for hijacking people with words. Forgive me for being self-centered and always talking about me. Forgive me for arrogance. Forgive me for boasting. Forgive me for not speaking with words of knowledge. I ask you to give me understanding and knowledge, wisdom and knowledge. Forgive me for being arrogant. And Lord, you teach me knowledge. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus, help me walk in a manner worthy of you, pleasing you in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Lord, let me be strengthened according to your power, according to your glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to you, Lord, who has qualified me to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I ask that, God, in the name of Jesus. I forgive my forefathers for not turning to reproof, not listening, not wanting your reproof, which would cause you not to answer my prayers, and forgive me for not listening to you, Lord. I repent. Teach me knowledge, Lord. Teach me, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, that I might number my days and present to you a heart of wisdom. Forgive me for exchanging the truth of God for a lie and worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. Lord, I've been without excuse. And I turn to you now, Lord, with all of my heart. I ask you to forgive me. In Jesus' name, I forgive my forefathers. I invite your Holy Spirit to come in and possess my body and give me a new life. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit to possess me. I thank you that Jesus, you died on the cross that I might be saved. Thank you for shedding your precious blood. And Lord, I just yield my life to you 100%. And I ask that I'll be known, that I'm a person of wisdom and knowledge in Jesus' name. And I forgive my forefathers for not being wise, for not being people of wisdom and knowledge, and for not listening to you. And I ask you to forgive me, and I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses. I cut all soul ties in Jesus' name with all of my forefathers in the name of Jesus. And take a deep breath. The word spirit means breath, and just cough out or breathe it out, or you don't have to do anything, but just submit yourself to God. And Lord, we resist the devil, and he has to flee in Jesus' name. And Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Bless the Lord. We thank you, Lord. We glorify you. We exalt you. We say, Lord, there's no God like you. We just praise you. Praise you. Well, if anybody needs prayer, you can call in. I lost my number here. Here it is. You can call in. 646-595-4784, and don't forget to press 1, and I'll be happy to pray for you. You can email me at jerrymcghee@sbcglobal.net. That's GERIMCGHEE at sbcglobal.net. And if I can help you, you can email me, and I'll be glad to answer your email. And I've been having a meeting in Duncanville, Texas, probably for about 10 years, but we're moving to, as of January 1st, 2020, we're moving to Corsicana, Texas. And if you'll go to my website, which is jerrymcghee.com, GERIMCGHEE.com and sign up for my email. I'll send out a flyer giving you the directions. But it'll be the first Saturday of every month, just like the Duncanville meeting, only it'll be from 10 o'clock to about 1 o'clock. And I can send you the address, but it's Living Word Christian Fellowship in Corsicana, Texas, and you can find it on your GPS, but I'll send you information. But we'll have one more meeting in Duncanville, be the last one in Duncanville, Texas. And so, anyway, we'd love to have you come. If you want a meeting scheduled in your area, if you'll call me or email me, I'll be happy to come. I go wherever the Lord opens the door. Hope you'll listen again. I'll be at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp November the 27th through December. Is that the 27th? Hang on just a minute. I think I'm talking. It'll be Thanksgiving Day, whatever that is, through December 1st. And then I'll be at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp again for their Christmas camp, and that's December 27th through through the 30th. And so, see if there's anything else. Anyway, I'll just refer you to my website. There's a book called Clearing the Land. You can actually get deliverance going through it. It lists all the Bible curses, and you can order it online. There's also a book called Resetting Life's Negative Reaping Patterns. Basically, that tells you how to change negative reaping to positive reaping. You know, we all have good reaping and bad reaping, but it tells you how to change the bad reaping to the good. And let's see what else I need to say here. Anyway, we appreciate those of you who support the ministry. And also, you can go onto my website, and there's a place where you can send a gift by PayPal. And also the lady that sponsors this program, and you can send her a gift through D for Dorothy, Churchy, Churchy, 1@hotmail.com. And so anyway, I don't think there's anything else I need to tell you. But anyway, I hope to hear from you. I love to hear what God's done in your life. And may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you.